Now more with Frank Gaffney.
We're back. We are joined, as it's a great pleasure to be from time to time, by Hans von Spakovsky, one of the really brilliant thinkers on matters involving legal and judicial topics, but more generally, public policy, even national security. He comes to all of this via his current job as senior legal fellow in the Edwin Meese III Center for Legal and Judicial Studies at the Heritage Foundation, also by dint of a lot of very important experience in the public sector, notably as a counsel to the Assistant Attorney General for Civil Rights in the Justice Department, also as a member of the Federal Elections Commission. It's always a delight to have him with us, as I say, but especially in a moment when there's some important developments that we're anxious to get his thoughts on. Hans, thank you so much for taking a few minutes. Welcome back.
Well, thank you, Frank.
Let's start with the developments last night. The dark of night, I guess, is what one might call it. There seems to have been a bit of a breakthrough on the efforts that Devin Nunes, the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, and others have been making to get to the bottom of some pretty squirrely business in the Justice Department and FBI. Tell us about it.
Well, you know, the House Intelligence Committee, headed by Nunes, has been investigating the counterintelligence operation that was launched against the Trump campaign. And they served a subpoena on Justice 8 months ago, August of last year, in order to try to get the original memo or electronic communication that launched the investigation. And up until now, Justice had only given them a redacted version, which apparently had big pieces cut out of it. Trey Gowdy actually said that the most important parts had been cut out, the parts that would give them the ability to judge the credibility of the information and whether the FBI had vetted it before they launched the investigation. Anyway, Nunes has been trying to get a full memo, and only this week, after he threatened Rod Rosenstein and Chris Wray, head of the FBI, with contempt and possible impeachment proceedings, suddenly last night they were given access to the entire document.
And what do we know they saw when they got it? Is there any further information available?
We don't know yet, but I think the most important thing for people to understand is that the Justice Department, the FBI, had absolutely no legal justification for withholding the full memo. If they claim there's classified material in it, well, that's not a reason, because it's the House Intelligence Committee that's doing this investigation, and the members of it, as you know, Frank, are cleared to look at classified material. And there is no other way that executive branch agencies can refuse to give documents and information to Congress when it's exercising its oversight function, except for one reason. That's if the president claims executive privilege. And certainly we all know President Trump has not claimed executive privilege over these documents, and there's no way that he would do that.
Yeah. So we are in a holding pattern to discover what was now unredacted and what else accompanied that document. I'm told there may be 1,000 pages of other materials. Is that your understanding as well, Hans?
That's a possibility. I got to tell you, I suspect that the reason DOJ and FBI refused to turn this over is because of what we have seen from prior information that's been made available, which is that the FBI didn't actually vet or check the credibility of the information they had gotten, which is a basic mistake and basic error.
I would go so far as to say it's malfeasance, Hans. It doesn't seem to me it's just kind of an oversight. It's that they deliberately chose not to do it. But let me switch gears, if I may, because there's so much more to talk to you about, Hans, and I do want to cover several other topics. One of them is you wrote in FoxNews.com about questions that Mark Zuckerberg should have to answer when he testified before the Congress. This was back on April 10th. Did you get answers to those questions? And if not, why not? And what did we learn, in fact, as a result of his appearance?
Well, I actually don't think we learned a lot. I'm continually amazed at how incompetent members of the Senate and the House are at actually asking tough examinations like a lawyer would in a cross-examination. Look, the biggest question that should have been asked, but it was asked in part, but not the right way, was, you know, why did Facebook allow the Obama campaign to keep and use all of its data that it had gotten from Facebook in the 2012 campaign? And yet, when the Trump campaign was using that same kind of data through a company, a political consultant they hired, Cambridge Analytica, Facebook went to them and said, you've got to destroy the data. Now, the supposed excuse given is that, well, the Obama campaign obtained this directly through an app they designed, whereas Cambridge Analytica bought the data from somebody else. I don't really see much difference between those two ways of getting data. The end result is they basically were happy with one political campaign that they supposedly favored using the data, but not with another one who they didn't favor using that kind of data.
Yeah. My understanding is actually, Hans, that Mark Zuckerberg himself was helping the Obama campaign in furtherance of its electoral success. So it wasn't just that they had access to the data through whichever mechanism, but they were actually being guided in its exploitation by the very man that we're, you know, trying to extract information from. One other piece of this, which I think you were concerned about, as am I, and that scarcely got attention in the Senate other than Ted Cruz, to his credit, and somewhat more, but not enough, it seems to me, in the House, was this issue of Mark Zuckerberg's role now in censoring the kind of information that is available to Facebook users. What's your takeaway on all of that?
Well, the takeaway on that was, you know, Ted Cruz went through a list of all these conservative-leaning sites that had been censored by Facebook, including, I think, 24 Catholic sites, and then asked Zuckerberg if he knew of a single liberal site or liberal content that had been censored, and Zuckerberg couldn't list one. And then Zuckerberg, and this is an answer that the rest of his answer a lot of people have ignored, he seemed to try to justify it because he says, well, you know, we're headquartered in Silicon Valley, and that's a very liberal place, as if that's justification for that kind of censorship on Facebook. And he really didn't have an answer for why they were doing that. He I don't know if it was pretend or really was. It was as if he was ignorant of what his own company was doing in this area.
Well, I think ignorance was the best posture he could strike, because all others really play into what I believe is the actual facts of the matter, which is we do have liberals. In fact, according to Breitbart, which has a piece on the subject, a great many of them seem to be Obama people and Hillary Clinton people at that. But they are really now very much involved in discriminating and doing with extreme prejudice harm to conservative sites and the information that they're trying to convey, and favoring in their stead the liberals. So this moves them completely out, as far as I'm concerned, but I'd be interested in your thoughts on it, Hans, out of the category of a neutral purveyor of information. They're now partisans, and the implications of that for an election. Talk about interference in elections. This is really ripe for a massive problem, don't you think?
Oh, it is. And I think back to, you remember the turn of the century, there was a big deal about the supposed robber barons who had, you know, so much power. I mean, that's one of the reasons we passed the Sherman Antitrust Act, et cetera. Those guys were amateurs in comparison to the kind of power that Zuckerberg has with this this application and this basically modern form of communication that is used all over the world. I mean, it's amazing how much authority he's got and how much he can control the information flow depending on who they decide to censor.
And how completely unaccountable he is for the actions, which could translate into the margin of victory in elections in this country. Make no mistake about it. Hans, where do you come down as a serious, you know, thinker on these matters on what should be done about this? Are you in the camp of having the government get into the regulation of these guys, or might you be interested in an approach that I found compelling, hearkening back to the Ma Bell breakup of the Bell system? You know, have a free market approach, let the market compete, but end this monopoly, in not just in Facebook, but by the way, you know, Google and Microsoft, perhaps Apple. I mean, these are really hegemons now in the information space, are they not?
Yeah, no, I actually agree with you. Look, what can be worse than having Facebook acting as a censor, but having the government act as a censor? You know, that's jumping from the pot into the fireplace. I think there needs to be a serious examination of Facebook and other companies under our antitrust acts, in the same way we broke up Ma Bell and came up with all the companies today that everybody uses for their cell phones is all because of the competition that was created after we did that. And I think that is a serious possible remedy folks need to look at.
Okay. Listen, very quickly, sanctuary states are something that you have been tracking and trying to warn against in cities. Jerry Brown, the governor of California, has, as you know, reluctantly agreed to send 400 National Guard troops to the California border at President Trump's request. Does this mark in any way a change of view on the part of the governor of California, or is it more of the same when you look at the rules of engagement?
You know, I think it might be more of the same because of the rules of engagement, which I think are going to severely limit the amount of work that the National Guardsmen can do in assisting the Border Patrol. I mean, I think overall it's a good idea for the president to do this because the Border Patrol, they need help.
We have to leave it at that. Hans von Spakovsky of the Heritage Foundation, thank you so much for your time today. Hans, we'll talk with you again very soon. Thank you, my friend, in the meantime. Next up, Bill Marshall joins us from Judicial Watch on tax dollars for Soros and more right after this.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.